podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three blues, three opinions, one Everton podcast.
Welcome to episode 146 of the Unholy Trinity Podcast, brought to you in association with Sports Social, the UK's only dedicated sports podcast network, and also Fanatics. As Jason Derulo once sang, I'm riding solo in terms of the Unholy Trinity members. Lee's off doing his best Judas Chalmers impression again. He's over in Tuscany, and Pete, he's a busy man when it comes to work. But I'm delighted to say the unofficial fourth member of the Unholy Trinity joins me tonight. Phil Haywood, how are you, mate? I know you're busy, fussy training. It's all kicked off for yourself, hasn't it?
No, thanks for having me again, Mike. I was just thinking that when you were saying that, I don't remember the last time when I was on, when the three Musketeers were all together. I'm a good substitute, but no, I appreciate you asking me to come on again. And like I said, football season's mad. I'm out as soon as work finishes, straight out, one or two training sessions a night now. So it's back to the routine.
That's it, mate. Yeah, no, it's one of those things where they've been, obviously the summer's been there, been busy, I think, for us all, travelling-wise. Lee's always going to a variety of countries. So it's one of those where it's great to have you on, great to have you discussing the Blues, and hopefully, you know, it's another positive show for ourselves as well. But let's dive straight in if we can, because obviously we had the week off, didn't we? No game last weekend due to the death of the Queen. So that then meant that the game at Arsenal didn't happen. And obviously we were sort of in limbo yet again with this weekend in terms of whether our game was going to go ahead. And I'm delighted to say that it is. And yeah. I know that, you know, judging by the reaction on social media, Evertonians seem to be quite positive at the moment, I think, based on what we've seen in the last few weeks, the last few games. We can see that things are certainly, you know, that plan that, you know, Frank Lampard has been there for a little while now, and you know, he's certainly now looking to move us forward, and you know, his style of play, his tactics are starting, I think, to really take hold. But yet again, you know, before we discuss the West Ham game, we have been hit with another pretty big injury, really, haven't we? You know, Jordan Pickford this time is the player who's going to miss 3 to 4 weeks back after the international break. How much of a blow is that, Phil, to lose Jordan Pickford after, obviously, the form he's been in so far this season?
Oh, I think it's the worst possible injury you can get, Mike, to be fair. I think when for the last 18 months, going on 2 years, he's been, performance-wise, he's been outstanding. And since Lampard's come in, he's really turned into a massive leader. He's matured a lot as well. Obviously, remember his days when he used to play up at Newcastle. He was involved in sort of the crowd and things like that. But I think his level of maturity now, he's one of the senior figures now, obviously, in the international stage as well. But I think losing him is worse than losing Calvert-Lewin and other, like Decore and people like that, Mina, because obviously it's just a massive void to fill. And I know you can argue Calvert-Lewin's is, but you know, you do have players you can chip in with goals and things like that. But the goalkeeping position, as you'll know, even more so, mate, being in goal yourself at times, it's a pivotal position now. And like I said, he starts attacks. He calms us down a lot with big saves and big moments. Is talking. Obviously, he's been the captain this season with Seamus not playing many minutes. And obviously, the backup, although, you know, as Mia Begovic is a decent backup, you would think, from years gone by, you still worry. Well, I tend to anyway, when Jordan's not in between the sticks.
Most definitely. And like you say, you know, he's been captain so far this season. Certainly one of the leaders of the side. And his form has been very, very good. For the last probably 12, 18 months, he's been a lot more consistent. I've said it, you know, quite a few times over the course of that time about how much he's become a consistent performer. And, you know, he had an exceptional game in the Merseyside derby. So to lose him is, like you say, it's probably comparable, if not worse than losing Dom, to be honest. And it's a big game now, or you know, for Begovic to come in. We know, obviously, we've seen him a few times since he signed for us last season. He's played obviously mainly cup games, but has played league games when Jordan had an injury last season. But it's a big game for him to come in, you know, when you've been sitting and watching for so long. It's the hardest position to deputise for me, you know, as a goalkeeper. Every player likes to play themselves into form. So as a goalkeeper, when you're constantly watching, you know, for 95-98% of the time over the course of the season, to be ready is a big ask. So it's a big game for Begovic, of course, but you know, we've had to dip into the free transfer market as of today, with the signing of Eldin Yakupovic. I can't say his name. Yakupovic. So he's a former Leicester, Hull City goalkeeper. Didn't really get any game time at Leicester. I can't profess to know a great deal about him. I do remember him slightly for his time at Hull. And based on what I've read, Phil, Hull fans who've obviously reacted a little bit to the news today said when he was playing for them, as much as obviously they weren't a great side, they wouldn't have even got past 30 points if it wasn't for him. Okay. So, you know, there's a little bit of positivity there, but obviously 37 years of age now. His contract is only until the end of December, from what I can make out across various websites. Jordan Pickford and Andy Lonergan both are due back, say, three to four weeks. But we don't see him playing any kind of major part in between the sticks, do we, between now and the end of December?
No, I just think he's there obviously as a stopgap, just in case, you know, touch wood, anything ever happens to Begovic, really. And I think he won't be anywhere near it. Other than that, maybe come along with the team to do the warm-ups and stuff. But, well, that's what you'd hope anyway. But like you were saying about Begovic, it must be, and you don't realise it, unless you are a keeper, that unless Pickford has a drastic run of poor games, you'd still imagine Pickford would still play. So to come in off a one or two game opportunity, knowing full well that you're not going to be longevity with a month or two of games, must be hard mentally as well, to focus. But, you know, he's got the experience there, Begovic, and obviously Lonergan's now got an injury. But no, I think, like you said, he's just there as a stopgap, and he'll be there. Was it said to the end of December, did you, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, according to Transfermarkt, that says to the 31st of December. I mean, it just says, obviously, in the media, and Everton's website, a short-term contract. So it's not going to run to the end of the season, that's for sure. So that makes sense, I suppose, with obviously the World Cup kicking in sort of mid-November, really, isn't it, until Boxing Day. So yeah, he's just on a short-term deal. But a bit surprised, Phil, we didn't go in for Ben Foster, whether, you know, that would have been somebody we could have looked at, or maybe the fact that he likes to put a GoPro in the back of his goal and he's got his own podcast, doesn't he? I mean, that's particularly well with the powers that be. But he was certainly, for me, would have been an option on a short-term deal.
It would have made sense. I think he's a Northern lad as well. I'm surprised he hasn't even got a club, because I know he was training with either Birmingham or West Brom, his former clubs, just to keep fit, but they haven't took the option to even take him. So, no, I was surprised that no one's and ourselves weren't looking at that, to be fair.
Yeah. But, I mean, we don't know, obviously, whether the club have gone to him and he said he wanted more than a sort of 2 or 3 month deal. That could be the case, I suppose. But he was certainly one player who I thought of when there was talks of us maybe dipping into the free transfer market for a goalkeeper. But on the flip side, on the positive side, obviously we found out that this was obviously leading up to what would be in the Arsenal game, but that both Dominic Calvert-Lewin and Abdoulaye Doucouré are back, they're fit, they're in full training, should be in the squad obviously for this weekend's game against West Ham. How much of a positive is it to have both those two players back, do you think? Especially, I know we've got obviously the international break coming up now, but just to make the squad look that little bit stronger.
It's absolutely, you know, massive for a squad. If you're a player training, you see they're not just youth lads or, you know, loanees or young lads, the full established players and internationals, do you know what I mean? So bringing them back in, especially after a positive result against Liverpool. Now, I was a bit gutted the game got called off against Arsenal, obviously, with the circumstances. But when you're on a bit of form, unbeaten as well, it would have been nice to have took that into Arsenal. But to not play, to not lose any points, any ground, and then bring Doucouré and Calvert-Lewin back into training is an absolute fantastic bonus. I can't remember a squad we've had, maybe Martinez, maybe Moyes, where when you look to the bench and you've actually got players who can change a game and not just bodies, if that makes sense, that can come on when in tricky moments and change a game. And they're definitely players that will make the players lick the lips and think, you know, we all need to pull our weight now, because anyone can take anyone's place, really. And it's just, it adds lots of competition to the squad. And I think that with how positive the start we've made, although we haven't won, I know it sounds really strange to say that, but you can see when Lampard brought these players in, the plan, what was there, you can see the performances have been very solid, and you can see we're not there yet, but we will get there eventually. And we are playing against decent sides, i.e. Brentford at their place is a tough place to go. Leeds as well under the lights, very tough place to go. And then one of the best teams in Europe, you know, to concede only 2 goals and be unbeaten against those 3 sides. If you told me that before the Brentford game, I would have laughed in your face, really. So you can see that we are on the right path, but adding Doucouré and Calvert-Lewin back to that is only going to, you know, build a lot more confidence within the group.
Yeah, I was sitting there before thinking about obviously what our bench could be like on Sunday, and for the first time probably this season, I'm thinking, you know, like you say, then Phil, there's going to be players on the bench who can come on and make a difference, and you know, whatever the circumstances in the game. So if you look at from sort of back to front, take the goalkeeper out of the equation, you've got Seamus Coleman, who's a club captain. You've got Ruben van Nistelrooy, who obviously is an able deputy to Mikhailenko. Michael Keane can't really get a look in, but he'll be on the bench. You know, a solid enough centre half.
Yeah, yeah.
Centre mid options on the bench could very well be Alain Doucouré, Tom Davis, 3 players who, in you know, the last couple of seasons, are the ones that we've really turned to be playing. Throw into that as well, James Garner, another one. Another lad in that position who, obviously unproven to us yet in the Premier League, but had a very good season at Forest last season and has earned some rave reviews there. And even in the 4 positions, you look at the fact you've got Dwight McNeil probably going to be on the bench. You'll have Dominic Calvert-Lewin probably on the bench as well. So all of a sudden, that bench looks a little bit stronger. And like you say, the mind you, you know, against Leeds, he turned around, looked at the bench and thought, there's nothing there. I can't make a change here that can influence this game in one way or another. Whereas now, you can look at it and think, you know what? Got options there. If I need to see a game out, I've got the likes of Alan, Michael Keane, obviously the two other lads, Coleman and Van Nistelrooy. If I need to go and chase a game, I've got the likes of Dominic Calvert-Lewin and Dwight McNeil to come on, and even the likes of, you know, James Garner, Ablai Doucouré, who can, you know, progress things from midfield and join up with the attack. So it's the first time this season, and for quite a while actually, that I'm thinking, you know what, we're looking like a bit more of a more rounded squad, and we're still missing our first choice keeper and potentially 2 first choice centre halves in Yerry Mina and Ben Godfrey.
And Holgate as well, yeah.
And of course, Holgate, you know, who started the season, to be fair, he started the season, I thought, really well and deserved to be starting games. So, as much as obviously there's 3 centre halves there and a goalkeeper, they're all 3 solid players, you know, right. As I say.
Yeah.
It's they all add a lot to the squad, and you know, you've got England's number one, Everton's number one injured. You've got first choice, obviously, Colombian centre half in Yerry Mina, and 2 really strong young English centre halves as well. Who, to be fair, as I say, Holgate started the season really well, and we'd all be starting Ben Godfrey, I think, if we were having 3 centre halves. So it's testament, I think, to the work that's been done by both manager and Kevin Selwell over the course of the summer to get these. What was it? It's 9 players now, if you include goalkeeper. Get those players in and ship out the players who were offering very little to that squad. We were seeing, you know, for a handful of minutes, who were earning a lot of money. So, as I say, credit to the manager and the director of football for getting that work done.
Absolutely, Mike. I think you're spot on. I think when you think about when you, you know, from being one of the weakest benches in past seasons to potentially one of the more established and stronger benches, and I was one of those fans and people who was really against the five substitutions, and that's because of the weakness we've had on the bench for the last few years. But when you put it like that, and periods again, because West Ham, you know, obviously they don't, I'll probably put the jinx on this, but they've got Europe Thursday. And then they don't tend to do particularly well the Premier League game that weekend. You could potentially change shape with Vinagre, Coleman, you know, Alan, but then going forward with McNeil and obviously Dom. So when it looks going for you, and the fact that, and we need the luck, we deserve the luck with a stronger bench, then I'm all for the five subs. It's a good thing when you think about it, because it gives them more chances of playing in different systems. And honestly, when you see like so West Ham, he's done very well there, Moyes, but a year or two ago, I'd have been fearing this game. I'm actually very confident in the way that we've started and the options that we do have. And I, like you said, you've got to give huge credit to Lampard, Thelwell, the backroom staff, because it wasn't just changing, getting a forward, and it wasn't just changing, you know, a centre half or two, or it was the complete wages and, you know, the bad eggs, so to say, in the group, or players be a bit ruthless that weren't good enough for us, and changing the whole philosophy of the team. It's a huge, I don't think they've had enough credit really, because like I said, when the players, when we signed Tarkowski and Cody, you think, I can see why he's done that, or, you know, got bringing Garner back, I can see why he's done that, where it hasn't been a scattergun approach where Chelsea have done, which reminds me of when we had Koeman.
Yeah, 100%. That's very much the case for me. But this West Ham game for me is a real, real intriguing one, to be honest with you. I know it's only early in the season, but we're just going to take a short break and we're going to discuss that in about 30 seconds. Welcome back to the second part of today's Unholy Trinity podcast. And like I mentioned, it's, you know, all eyes on Sunday now. Goodison Park, West Ham United are in town. And obviously, Phil, you just mentioned there about David Moyes, obviously been there for quite a while now. When it comes to your modern Premier League manager, you know, we know how long he was at Goodison Park for, of course. But, you know, we used to have the established managers, didn't we? The likes of Alex Ferguson, Wenger, Moyes with Everton. Whereas now, you know, if managers sort of gets it 4 or 5 years, they're doing well. But Moyes, obviously, it's his second stint at West Ham, but been there for a little while now. Built a really strong squad. I'd argue, you know, the squad that he's put together there is certainly the best of his time at West Ham. Haven't started the season particularly well, it's got to be said, in terms of results. Same number of points as ourselves, but below us because of the goal difference. I think the three goals worse off than ourselves. But they've certainly, I think they've still brought in some real quality this summer. If you look at the likes of Paqueta, he's from Lyon. Yeah. Obviously Maxwell Cornet, who we were heavily linked with and spoke to, and we're pretty close, I think, at one point to getting him in. He's signed for them as well. Obviously, you've got the likes of Declan Rice, who we know how good he is and how much he's progressed in recent years as well. But like you said before the break, Phil, you know, over the last couple of years, we were probably dreading this kind of match against West Ham. You know, coming to Goodison Park, and we weren't in the best of moments. People will argue that we're not now, but we know as Evertonians, we can see something. I think that something is clicking. I'm looking forward. I can't wait to get to the ground on Sunday. I really can't. And I said before on Twitter, you know, I can feel that the sort of positivity from Evertonians, they all feel the same. They just can't wait to get back there. Probably having that little week off has probably done us a bit of a favour, like you said, in getting these players back, another week's worth of training under the belt for Dom, for Decore, for Atsusa Garnagay as well, who we know is working his way up to full fitness. But are you sensing that obviously that positivity is there and fans really are keen to get back to Goodison?
Absolutely, Mike. I do. I have obviously went to Leeds and obviously the Derby and things, and I thought then we're building something here. And we are a team who's going to get a hiding from us in the next, you know, few fixes. And I was looking forward and I thought West Ham, not in a bit of great form. I always think he can get at West Ham. I do think the danger's going forward. They've got lots of different kind of players going forward, like your Bowens, your Antonios and things like that, and different styles. But I always feel he can get at West Ham. And I remember a couple of years ago when I think Bernard scored a quite a cute goal, and I think Sigurdsson scored as well. And they look like they gave up. It's sometimes a match for West Ham where I think they part themselves or slightly think they're better than us, especially after last season of Europe. But I think with the excitement, and again, like I said, it's strange to be excited and not have got a win yet. But us as Evertonians know what we're trying to build and what is, you know, getting put on that pitch. And like, and that's what I think a team will deserve a hiding soon and will get that hiding. And like you said, is it because with Dom coming back and Decore, more positive? It seems to be lots of positivity. Obviously, minus the Pickford. But I do think you can get at West Ham. I don't know, if Mike, if they're away on Thursday or home. I know they're playing.
Yeah, they're away. They're travelling to Denmark, aren't they? So they're going away to Silkeborg, Denmark. Obviously, it's not a really long journey, but it's still a Thursday night game. Obviously, yeah. Travelling over there, travelling back late Thursday night into Friday morning, probably recovery session Friday, and then probably a mini sort of training session Saturday before they travel up to Liverpool. So it's not ideal, as we know ourselves from previous seasons and playing in Europe. Those Thursday nights, as much as you want to be involved in European competition, for the opposition and for ourselves, we've got to look at that and think, you know what, they're going to have to be making changes here. And those who do play in Europe on Thursday, some of them will play against ourselves, and you know they're the ones who are going to tire, you'd think. So we've got to look at that and try and take advantage, I think.
Well, as well, like people always used to say to me, you know, why do people moan about the Europa League and the Champions League and the days of difference? And it's psychological. If you don't start a season well and you're playing the Thursday, know full well you're playing the Sunday, and teams in the Premier League around you play the Saturday and they're winning. It puts more pressure on you again on the Sunday. And like you said, Mike, you know, they'll be itching to get a decent result because the form has not been great. And they'll have a few players there who will probably play on the Sunday as well. So will they put a lot into that? Who knows? Obviously, with their European tour last year, they absolutely loved them. Obviously, something we would love to do again because, you know, how lovely the European away day is. So, again, I do think you can get at West Ham. I do believe they will have a lot of players who will play Thursday, and like you said, the logistics of travelling back and light training sessions and travelling up to Liverpool could work in our favour. And then, you know, you look ahead then at the fixtures, and Southampton next, you know, another team who are up and down in form. They can be brilliant one week, and then lack of experience, I think, a lot this year, Southampton, but another team you can get at. So I think we start Sunday, get a positive result, positive performance. I think we'll be really good. And again, like you said, I'm buzzing for it. I can't wait.
Well, I think we've got to as well. We've got to go into this international break with that win as well. I know some people say it's a momentum killer, and I agree, especially if you're winning week in, week out, or you're unbeaten, it can really sort of knock you. We've been there before ourselves where, you know, our momentum was certainly impacted when we were winning games. Was it under Carlo, was it, when we... When we went to Southampton and we lost after an international break. So we know what it can do. But we also, you know, I think we've got some momentum, I really do. And again, this will sound strange to some people, but like you mentioned earlier on, you know, to come away unbeaten with two away games at Brentford and Leeds and a Merseyside derby against probably the second best side in the league and one of the best sides in Europe, despite recent showings against Napoli. They're still, you know, they're a quality side in a game that we discussed it on the show, obviously post derby. But you know, we could have won the game, they could have won the game. We had some really good chances, and for a side where, you know, we think we may struggle to create chances, we had some really, really good gilt-edged edge opportunities which we didn't take. So I think that the signs are there, that the positivity is there. There is momentum there. A win would be great.
But like you say there, Mike, as well, and I said before, to concede two goals in those three games, and, you know, before and after, Brentford beat Man United by four, and then they beat by far, they played Leeds, they battered Leeds 5, and we had, all right, on another day, Brentford could have been 3 or 4 up at half time, but they weren't. And I think Everton enjoy defending now as well, where when Walton used to go in, used to look at the players and they were broken, you could see they were, you know, brittle. But now, you know, you can see they enjoy the tenacity of defending, they love the counter-attacks. And like you said, there's a real positivity. And people want us, I say it's always with Liverpool, and they say, how can you be positive and win a game? But they don't understand, you know, watching the games, and you can see why they're playing certain players or a certain system. But to concede 2 goals in those 3 games is a massive, you know, plus, because years gone by, we could have had no points and conceded 3 in each of those games. So I believe, like I said repeatedly, you know, West Ham is a game we're all looking forward to. And I just can't wait to get back into my seat, to be fair.
Yeah, we all feel the same. And it's certainly that air of positivity is certainly back. And I said it the other week as well. You're starting to see now we haven't just brought in bodies, we've brought in some quality as well, and that's exciting. You know, seeing the likes of Onana play really well in the Merseyside derby, you know what a Zagana game is all about. Seeing Neil Mopay, you know, run over 11 kilometres during the game against Liverpool, as much as hadn't played a minute, I don't think, this season. And so for a player to do that shows you that there's a will there within the side. There's competition, especially in the middle of the park. And the players now know if they don't perform, they've got someone breathing down their neck who can come in and take the position. Absolutely. And that's really important. But that positivity is definitely there. I certainly can't wait for Sunday to come. And try another one of those pies from the fan zone, because they're also quite special. I've had the chicken and veg and the scouse one, so I'm working my way through the repertoire there as well. So yes, it's all eyes on Sunday now, certainly is. But what are you saying, Phil? What's your prediction for the game?
I'm going to say 2-0, Mike.
Positive. Clean sheet and 2 goals would be ideal, and a good way to finish things off before the international break. I think we'll win. I think it's going to be quite an open game. I'm going to say 3-1, Evan. I can see us. I think we're threatening. We're threatening to score more than one goal in the game, to be honest. They are dangerous, West Ham. The likes of, you know, Antonio's always a danger, big, strong lad. You know, we've mentioned other quality as well, but I think Everton will win the game. I'm going to say 3-1. I can see Onana breaking his duck. I think he's going to score himself. But we'll take any win, of course, we will. And then have a little mini break before we start things off again against Southampton. But that's us for today's show. Just a bite-sized edition, with obviously so much to and fro with fixtures and things like that. But it's great to have the Blues back at the weekend. Phil, thanks for coming on at quite short notice as well. Really appreciate it.
No, thanks again, mate. I really enjoyed that. Thank you.
And we will be back ourselves post-West Ham to look back on that game. Fingers crossed for Everton's first win of the Premier League season. So we will catch you then.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. 3 Blues. 3 Opinions. 1 Everton Podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.